Welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hiya! Hekabo! We're back with the Wanderlust Wonder segment of the See the World with Ajala Nene. And this is where we spotlight tourist destinations in Africa and way beyond. Our spotlight for today is Aso Rock in Abuja. So guys, see, Aso Rock is a massive rock formation and is located in Abuja, the capital city of Nigeria. And it's also home to the Nigerian presidential complex. Yep, our president lives around there. No, not lives there, works there though, but you get it. So did you know that the Aso means victorious? It's gotten from the native language of the Aso Koro ethnic group, also known as the people of victory. Aso Rock is one of the city's most prominent landmarks, and it offers panoramic views of Abuja from its summit. It also attracts tourists and photographers alike because it is really beautiful from up there. So whenever you are in the capital city of Nigeria, make sure to check out Aso Rock. We're about to listen to our guests for today. Don't go anywhere. Hi everyone! Ekabo! Like I always say. And today I have how do I describe Mofe? Our relationship is kind of special, right? I won't say we're besties. I won't say we're acquaintances. I'll just say we have a special bond. We kind of like understand how we roll.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use that word.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think I agree with that.
Yes, that's how I roll. So, guys, I have here Mofe. Everyone knows that Yeti, but me, I call her Mofe.
Oh, Yejide. Hi, everybody.
Mofe Runsewe.
Runsewe.
Thank you very much for correcting me. Come on, spoil your name.
Runsewe.
It's a young and inspiring Nigerian who created an online travel company, Niger Nomads, after an eye-opening trip to Morocco in 2021. By the way, you guys are still going to do that, my trip to Morocco.
Yeah, I know, you've always...
Oh, well, we get there.
We will.
Mofe started her travel platform in 2015. Due to the lack of Nigerian travelers' stories, and there were no online resources that Nigerians could relate to, so she wanted to change that, and she did. That's why she created Niger Nomads, and it has evolved from a blog to a full company that provides all kinds of travel needs, from content to experiences.
Yeah.
Our head of the Niger Nomad, she calls herself
Head Nomad.
Head Nomad. And I call her Nomad Mama.
Yeah, Head Nomad, yeah. That's what they call me, yeah.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for finally being here.
Thank you so much.
So this is a question I ask everybody when we start. How did you get here? Why tourism? Though we shared your story in your bio, but share more.
Okay, it's funny because I am a trained lawyer. I have
a lawyer. If you mess up with me, I got her.
I actually have a master's degree in entertainment law.
Wow.
So my path was already, and my dad is a lawyer as well. Mm. So my path was already kind of like made, you know, gonna be a lawyer, graduate from law school, go for my master's, take over the chambers and all of that, right? But unfortunately,
I got it.
I went for my master's, and I think that was literally what changed my entire perspective of travel and tourism and everything, right? So I was a typical Nigerian that would go to the UK, the US, and do nothing exciting. I think the most exciting thing I had done when I had gone to the US was probably go Shopping? To no. Okay. I said exciting.
I
had gone ice skating at the Rockefeller Center in New York, and then I had also gone skiing with my family, right? So at least those things were a bit exciting, different, right? But every other time we're going to our family friends' houses, just sitting down, shopping, eating, doing the basic things, right? That, yeah. So when I went for my master's, I obviously, you know how UK schools are, right? Mm-hmm. Out of like maybe like 100 students, 95 of them will be foreigners, right? From different parts of the world.
Yeah.
Tons of Nigerians, tons of Europeans, people from all over the world, Asians and everything, all over the world. And I was very, very intrigued and very excited by their stories, because people had, in my class, we used to have like this mixers every Friday. Law students, so I mean, master students, not law students, I mean, we're already lawyers, right? Yeah, so master students will always, we had like this Facebook platform, right? And then we would always go to different like bars and clubs and things like that every Friday. And every Friday, you know, you now meet like different people. You meet people from Greece, from France, from Thailand. And I was very intrigued by their stories, right? And I happened to be in a Thai group. Those were my groups of friends, right? So one of them had this trip to Morocco. I mean, this is me, Nigerian. I think the only African country I had been to at that point was Ghana, right? I'd never been to any African country before. So, you know, she was telling me, oh, I'm going to Morocco in Africa. But I'm like, really? She's like, yeah. She's like, you've never been. I was like, no. She's like,
Exactly,
you know. And she now told me what the cost of the tickets were and everything. And it was just too good to be true. I'm like, nah, I have to. It was the cheapest trip I have ever gone on, and it literally changed the trajectory of my life, right? That trip cost me about maybe like 40 something pounds,
maybe
a return trip, because Morocco and the UK, they're like 3 hours away.
It's not far at all.
It was like 3 hours away, and then, you know, she had already told me, oh, they had booked the Riyadh, they had done this, they had done that, and I just needed to pay maybe like 200 pounds or something. It was really, really cheap. The visa process was very easy as well, because I was a student, you know. And then I also grabbed one of my other friends, my Nigerian friends. I'm like, girl, I'm going to Morocco. Let's go. And she's like, okay, let's go. And we went. And believe me, I was like, nah, I have to see the world. Like, what in the world is this place? You know, I slept in the desert. I rode camels. I was overwhelmed with how
right now, this Morocco trip is in my bucket list. I know it.
I was overwhelmed with how much I saw. And I was just there for like, what, 5 nights, and it was a lot. It was so beautiful, and I was very, very open-minded, you know. I was trying out tajine. I was one of all those Nigerians that go to these countries. I'm like, I'm looking for jollof rice. This food does not have pepper. I'm ready to taste everything. I'm ready to do everything. I'm ready to meet people. I'm ready to explore. And after that trip, I'm like, I have to see more. You know, so while in school, I went to Jersey. It's a place on the Channel Islands. It's one of all those little islands around the UK. So there's Jersey and Guernsey. I went to Jersey. So I was literally transported like back into time, where you're riding like horses and carriages and things like that. It was nice, you know. Then I went to Turkey. And then when I came back home, I just continued that way, you know. I went to Gambia, Tanzania, different places, right? So now back to the resource thing that you had mentioned. So I would write all this, because I'm a lawyer. I wouldn't say I like to write, but I can write, right? People say I write well. Let me just put it that way, right? So when I come back from these trips, you agree?
It's true now.
When I come back from this...
I'm looking for information for a country, to your blog.
When I come back from these trips, I'll have friends tell me, oh, how did you get the visa? How did you do this? How did you do that? So what I used to do was, I'll just, once I come back, I know that I have a ton of people asking me questions. I'll just literally just put it on Microsoft Word. And then once they ask, send me your email address. I just share with them. And everything just had everything that you needed to know about the country, right? From a Nigerian traveler's perspective, you know. So the visa requirements, how much it will cost, the things to do, the flights as well, because, you know, our flights are quite limited, you know. So how do you go to Seychelles, for example, from Lagos? You either fly Ethiopian, or you fly Kenyan, or you fly, you know, all those details were there, you know. And then things to do, and then my own story as well, because my stories are always very hilarious. I mean, I got chased by a dog in Seychelles.
Different things are always
happening to me. I don't know. I don't know. So all sorts of crazy things that was happening to me. So I would always have like my own story
to add to it.
To add to it and things like that. And people found it very interesting. I remember then I was still working in a law firm. And one of my colleagues was like, are you sure you don't want to start like a travel? I know, like, don't you want to start like a travel blog? And there are no travel blogs out there that give this information from a Nigerian perspective, you know, yes. All you would see is
let
like
say a Nigerian African perspective.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, so
it's on both ways.
It's on, yeah, exactly.
Most people, I know a lot of people that internet ask for something, mm-hmm. and they're in Nigeria, say just go to Nigerian Nomads, yeah, to find information there.
Yeah,
that's Nigerians.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. Yeah, so a Nigerian and African perspective. Yep. There wasn't really anything out there. I'll be very honest with you, because I searched, and all I will see is maybe Condé Nast, all those fancy blogs, or exactly websites. Sides, you know, and I couldn't really relate to their stories, you know, yeah, so I'm just like, look, yeah, you know what, I'm just going to start, and that's literally how I started.
Obviously, if you don't mind, let me cut you in there. So I wanted to be a travel blogger too, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I actually signed up for a course.
Oh, really?
With Nomadic Mat.
Oh.
I signed, that is first course where it was, if you buy it, you get it for free, like lifetime access.
Yeah.
I paid for it. But by the time I was going through these courses.
Yeah. You couldn't relate?
I couldn't relate.
Yeah.
So the only thing I was able to do was build my website, mm-hmm. know how to do social media. Mm-hmm. But the other things were not there, like, okay, how to work with tourism boards.
Yeah.
How you as a, well, it was always like a Igbo person. A white
person. Yeah.
Like,
their perspective is different.
So at the point, I was like, I have to be the one traveling, because even though this guy is teaching me these things, it does just not relate to what I'm doing as an African.
And there are also these Nigerian nuances as well that only us can relate to. I'm sorry. only us can relate to.
Even among the white people, there's some things that they can relate to.
Yeah, we can't relate to.
We Africans, we are special people.
We are. We really are. And so then even the way we travel is even different as well. So in as much as I say I'm a very adventurous person, there's some things that I'm just going to be like, I don't understand. Why am I spending $500? No, I will not do that. For example, gorilla trekking in Rwanda, I will never
spend
over $1,000 to see mountain gorillas. Exactly. If I'm supposed to go,
last, we'll go look for what they are acquiring.
I even hear that in the question, right? Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's the thing. So I wouldn't do that. And I would not even encourage a typical, like, even if you're very, very adventurous and things like $1,000 to see gorillas.
Let me put that in perspective. Guys, because we have this thing here, it's like saying I go abroad and I'm looking for jollof rice and rice. No, because I know I'm in another country. I want to experience that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I come back to my Nigeria, I'll eat my jollof rice and my mala and everything. Yeah. It's the same thing. We have these things here, so why would we want to pay for it?
Yeah, exactly. That's
someone that doesn't live in Africa or continent will be like, we don't have these things now, because I actually want to go. It's like going to Australia not seeing kangaroo.
Yeah, exactly.
Why would an Australian place go see a kangaroo?
Fair enough.
Econo.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So how did Nigerian Nomads come in?
So that's how we came in, right? So I started to, so a colleague of mine at work was like, actually, you don't want to put this thing in a blog, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I started to research. There was nothing there, right? So I remember then I had like this family group. I was telling my siblings, I was like, oh, you know, started traveling, you know, so guys, I want to start off a blog, blah, blah, blah. And then my brother, Babsi, shout out to you. He's very creative, right? He's very good with names and things like that. So he started to play around with names and all that. And then he actually coined the name Nigerian Nomads.
Thanks, bro.
And he actually built our first website for us and things like that. Yeah. So he's a
your beautiful logo, the old logo and new logo. Yeah. They still look alike.
It's evolved.
We OGs. How did that foot thing come in?
The foot thing, it was. I'm trying to think, right?
Because I like
my brother as well.
I always put that foot.
Yeah.
I always remember you.
Yeah. It's literally from the name Nomads, right? Nomads are people that just walk around, they roam around, and they are not stopping, you know? So that's literally where the footprint came from. It was also my brother's, but my brother actually did all of that, yeah? So shout out to him, right?
Yeah.
So that's literally how we started. So we actually started with the blog, and then we now created an Instagram page. I remember when we're trying to figure out, okay, what's the direction we're going to use the Instagram page? Okay, I don't have that many travel photos, right? Yeah. Then it was just photos for Instagram, right? Okay, so should we start to curate like photos from Nigerian travelers all over the world, you know?
Nigerian travelers.
Yeah,
first.
It was Nigerian travelers first. I was very specific because I wanted other Nigerians to see that you can do this too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so that was the angle, right? Okay. And it blew. People were tagging us, we'll put up their pictures, we'll write captions there. And you find people saying, oh my gosh, so you can do this in this place, you can do that in this place. So people started to relate with yeah. other people's stories, and then it kind of like opened up their minds to the possibilities of your passport.
Yeah.
Yes, we know the passport is shit.
Let's go to the green passport booth. Hey, God, that was one of your campaign now.
What I know. Yeah. Damn you, COVID.
God bless COVID. That's all I can say right now. So yeah. the Nigeria passport movement, yeah. what was that all about?
So it was literally, so like how I was saying the passport is shit and things like that, right? So what I noticed about myself is I don't like applying for visas. Visas are very stressful, right?
Man.
It's very, very stressful, right? Right. So I found myself constantly going to places that I could literally just pick up my passport and go. Or the passport, the process was just
process
very
was easy.
Easy
and not stressful.
You know, not stressful. Maybe visa on arrival or e-visas yeah, and things yeah. like that, right? So when I started to curate group trips, I'm like, look, what is that one thing that will not stress us as a company? Do you understand what I mean? Because imagine if you're planning a trip to France, for example, with 20 people that have signed up and only 8 of them get
visas. Which usually happens.
You are screwed. So I never wanted a situation where we will be screwed, yeah. you know? And the point of Niger Nomads is to show people the possibilities of their passports.
Passport. Yeah,
you know what I mean? That was our aim. That was our thing. That was literally our company ethos.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so when we started the Green Passport Movement, it was literally, okay, you know what, guys, I know that you're more interested in going to the US, the UK, European countries, but guess what? There's Rwanda. There's Lebanon. There's Namibia.
There are all those
fun places that you can go to that you wouldn't be so stressed, you know.
And
as a Nigerian passport holder, like, why are you going to places that they don't even want you? Go to places where they want
they
you.
Want
you know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's how we
yeah.
started, right? So without humble brag, we're probably pioneers of that whole, this whole Lebanon
it's
movement that you're seeing today.
It's not
humble.
It's a fact.
It's a fact, yeah.
It's the
fact.
People like, Lebanon. What yeah. are they doing in Lebanon?
Thank you.
I don't really remember. Nigerian came for me and now gave us content. Myself, I was jealous. Like, what
yes.
is this?
Yes, Lebanon, definitely us.
Yeah.
Morocco, I think we should, we'll probably even take that credit too.
Take the credit. Because you hear Nigeria say, I'm going to Morocco.
No,
going to
back
Lebanon,
then,
going
yeah.
to Turkey.
No, but
if
now it's a
Turkey,
thing now.
Go to Turkey,
they're going to go and buy things, yeah.
There,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But to go there as a
now, yeah.
of course, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing now.
Now,
yeah.
it's that time, the first thing.
That is a humble rag.
I'm begging for you. You guys are not done by Morocco trip.
That's why they call us the OGs.
The OGs.
That's why.
Now, let's go to another beautiful business you have. I just loved how you coined that thing.
Yeah.
It started as a joke.
Yeah.
And now it's like your cash cow.
It is.
It's not your cash cow. So let's talk about
Casa Nomads. Yes. Yeah. So you see when they say travel opens up your eyes?
Opens your eyes.
It's no joke.
Why do you think I'm doing this podcast? My eyes opened to the possibilities.
It's no bloody joke because
yeah.
when you travel, you see, as in you're like, oh my gosh, this can actually happen. You know what I mean? It literally they say, oh, travel opens your eyes to the possibilities. It's no joke.
Yeah.
Because my second business, which is saying is my, it really is my cash cow now.
I saw that as a joke.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I actually got the idea when I traveled to Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now, you know, there's the whole passport thing that we're, the visa thing that we're dealing with, right? And another layer I felt was accommodation. I'm like, okay, look, how can we make this trip cheaper for like the average level 2 or level 1 banker. I'm just using that hypothetically,
yes,
right?
Yes,
okay, so
yes.
somebody back then, somebody that was earning maybe like 200K mm-hmm, per month mm-hmm. and stuff like that, can the person save up for the next maybe like 6 months and be able to afford a trip?
Yes,
you know,
yes.
we're trying to make the trips more accessible and more affordable to like the, I don't want to
regular,
say average.
No,
that's not the average Nigerian. Let's say the someone in the workforce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's earning
good money?
Looking for opportunity to go somewhere and relax, but this can't seem based on his or her.
Yeah.
This is my salary. Can he enable me to be able to
pretty
relax?
Much, yeah, right? So,
like
and
that.
The most apart from flights, we can't really do anything about flights, right?
No,
the
can,
most expensive
sorry.
Thing on the list will probably be accommodation right?
After transportation,
right? So we're thinking, okay, how do we make accommodation cheaper? Okay, there's this whole Airbnb thing. Then Airbnb was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
Airbnb thing that's going on, blah, blah, blah. I had never stayed in an Airbnb before because
okay.
my own travel back then before I started Niger Nomads, I would say I'm a mid to a luxe traveler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll stay in a nice hotel, you know, but not a lot of people can afford that,
yes,
you know. So
yes.
I'm like, okay, you know, how do we make it a bit more affordable
but
for
still
like,
luxurious in a very,
still,
very
yeah,
nice
in
way.
A very nice way, exactly.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So I'm like, okay, Airbnb, why not? Right. So this is me, crazy me. I've never been to Lebanon before. I put Lebanon on our itinerary of 2019.
Yeah, I've never been to Lebanon before
in my life.
See what I say though?
Yeah. I've never stayed in an Airbnb before. I put Airbnb inside our 4-hour accommodation can, option.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not even gonna lie, I was terrified. I was
of
like, God,
you'd be terrified.
What am I doing? I'm taking
and you're carrying people that.
Yeah, and guess what? You know, Lebanon and Lebanon was not even one of the trips that we thought was going to be a high whatever. But guess what?
That was out.
Yes, it did, because we did Morocco right before Lebanon, and Morocco gave people a lot of FOMO. Like I have to go with these people.
FOMO.
So Morocco was our first in 2019,
and they're already giving you
and
guys
you are
that
giving
buzz.
Us that buzz,
like,
right? So everybody was like, okay, they're going to Lebanon. I'm going to go with them. Do you understand? We had lots of people worried about the trip, right? But they're like, oh,
which
we're going to go
normal.
Yeah, we're going to go to Lebanon. And then because of the Airbnb aspect, because I also wanted to make it more attractive, because it's Lebanon, it was too expensive. People were like, what's going on there? You know how Nigerians can be, right? So we made it very as affordable as possible. Our Lebanon trip was $1,200, which is it was about 500 and something K for 7 nights.
Yes. That was, sorry guys, sorry, that was freaking cheap. Even me,
It was 500 and something, thousand naira, accommodation, flights, everything, visas, everything was sorted, and two meals per day.
Back to those days.
I know.
Continue. Guys.
Anyway, so. we go on Airbnb.
How many people were with you for this Lebanon?
It was 19. We're 19.
19.
Yeah, 19.
These people ever gone on a trip with you guys?
So some of them were from Morocco as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're like, we're going to the next one. Yeah. You know, some of them were Morocco,
so
but
you had built
most
that
of them,
people
like,
trusted you to the point where they can say, okay, you never go here before. We never do that.
But
we'll
go.
Follow you.
Yeah, exactly. But a lot of them, at least 90% of them, were newbies, never been. So now we're now on Airbnb looking for accommodation. Anyway, one of them just struck us, right? It was an upcycled, it was called Tina's Upcycled Loft or something funny. I can't remember what it was called. Well, upcycled loft, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was so different. It was really nice. It was, they use, you know, us people that would use like the, I don't know what they're called, like a skeleton of umbrellas for like chandeliers and things like that.
They recycle things.
Yeah, so they upcycle things. Really nice. That's kind of accommodation it was.
And
it was
very creative.
Very creative. It was very different, right? So the owner, Rolf. So I messaged him like, oh, we're coming, blah, blah, blah. It was a 5-bedroom, right? So 10 of us were going to stay there. However, we became 19, so he had to give us another accommodation. So we're split into like two different accommodations, right? So anyways, I'm sending him messages. I'm like, look, this is the situation. We're coming here for the first time, blah, blah, blah. He's like, don't worry. He got me a guide, got me this. He got me like every single thing I could ever imagine. When we got there, we'll call him. We'll be like, Ralph, please, where's the best place we can eat the best Lebanese shawarma? He will tell us. He helped us with the itinerary. So I had the itinerary, right? I sent it to him. He tweaked everything for me and said, okay, that will work for us. You know, do this on this day, do this on that day. This place is not really 2 hours. There's traffic. So maybe budget like 2 hours, 30 minutes, things like that.
Tell you exactly what he did.
Thank you. That's exactly what he did. Right. And we went there and we had such a,
don't remind me, Joe.
Check out our highlights on the Niger Nomads page to see what we did in Lebanon.
It was too fun.
It was so much fun.
It was more fun than Morocco, say.
Yeah, I think Lebanon was definitely more fun. No, it was definitely more fun because we had the Lebanese, we had newspapers carry us. It was.
I remember you guys had dancing on the roof. That club. That's what Nigeria said. The Lebanese guy. Go, Niger.
Oh my gosh, you remember it.
Wait,
you stalked us.
I don't understand. I wonder if you would
cheesecake. Oh my God.
Then
we
guys,
danced.
No, we went into the setters.
You
now make us feel bad. You take 5 pictures. Color coordination.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God. High five.
I just saw these people. You guys, that where all wear
in our brochures. Yeah. In our brochures, we used to tell people, so there's a day we have our photo shoot day. So I remember the Morocco one, we said the theme was color block, right? Yes. So everybody had to come in like a block of colors. And that Morocco picture happens to be one of our best pictures.
It's on your website.
Yeah, it is.
That's the first thing you see.
It is one of our bestest pictures out there, right?
Because you guys look like you're in the desert.
We were in the desert, yeah. We slept over in the desert, yeah. It was, it it was so nice. Yeah, back to Lebanon, back to Casa Nomas.
Casa,
we diverted. So anyway, we got in there. Our host was fantastic. And then the way I felt, I'm like, oh gosh, I need people to come into this Lagos and feel that way. Yeah, that's literally how my Airbnb thing came about, right? And I was moving houses. So I'm just like, instead of me just letting go of my house, my apartment, why don't I convert it into an Airbnb? Okay, let me see what Lagos Airbnb has to offer. I go on the Airbnb website, as usual, very boring hotel rooms, you know, things like that. Nothing had character. It was just blah and blah. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I need to do something that will literally knock people off their socks, you know, and which is what I did with my first 3-bedroom Airbnb, right? So every room was themed, you know. There was one that was themed like Tanzania. It was themed. It was nice. We were getting bookings left, right, and center.
To
and
the literally, point that even me, I tried to get one of my friends. Everything was blocked. I started begging, make when I look for a place. My friends coming.
Yeah, I remember. So, you know, that's literally how Casa Nomas came about, right? Yeah. So we're talking. I've been at it since 2019. Up until now, right? And so you can imagine, so that's 5 years, you know. So when people say, oh, you're balling, I'm like, I've paid my dues. You know, I have paid my dues, you know. I have grown over time. I started with mine, I started to manage for people, I dropped the people, started, got more apartments and things like that. So people know us for all sorts of things, our customer delivery, you know. We don't play, like, the one thing that I don't play with is customer service.
I agree.
My manager knows that when a guest calls him at 3 a.m. he's literally there, you know, things like that. They do, like, my
shout out to Telsey.
Toby. Shout out to Toby. Toby is amazing.
Like, so I don't bother calling her.
No, you should. Yeah, exactly. You know, Toby is amazing. You
shout
know,
out
so
to him,
yeah. So you know, you have things. Like I said, when people say, "Oh, you're balling," when I give people my figures or my numbers, I tell. I don't even give people like the actual like figures. I just people say, "Oh, so in a, on the average, an apartment in Lekki Phase 1, how well does it do?" I'm like, don't use me as your guide, because I've been in this game for.
Wow, you know,
that's
how
they call me, the OG.
We the OGs, girl.
Yeah, I've been in this game for a while. So when I tell you I do 26 to 28 nights per month, don't be like, you have to,
by the time you guys enter, I got to sleep in an Airbnb one day because of my friend, and I was snoring. That's to show you how comfortable.
Beds. Yes. I don't play with my beds.
No, the bed. I said,
I don't play with my beds.
My friend, I told him, I said, don't snore. I said, you snore. How comfortable the bed was, so cozy.
I don't play my
the
bed.
The environment, the exterior, the decorations, they take their time to make sure that everywhere looks very home away from home.
That's literally what it is. And like I said, the customer service. So because of the way Ralph made me feel, made us, all of us, 19 of us feel, you know, I carried that with me and brought it home. And then I remember that when Tommy joined the team, I always used to tell him, I'm like, look, if there's anything we're going to do right, it's this customer service, right? Let your guests call you and say, oh, please, you know where I can get jollof rice? You should have an answer to that question. So it means that wherever your Airbnb is or wherever your home is, you need to know that environment
very well.
You know that environment very, very well. You're literally like their guide in Lagos.
Yes, you're their guide.
You are their guide in Lagos. You know what I mean? So let them feel comfortable enough to, even if you don't even have the answer to that question, like, you know what? Can I get back to you in like 2 minutes?
And
you go and quickly research or call. I'll be like, do you know where we can get this? Our guest is looking for. There was one time, let me tell you how crazy we are. Let me actually tell you how crazy we are. I don't know if you remember, there was one time there was scarcity of grapes.
Yes.
In Lagos. It was like 2 years ago or something. Right?
There was scarcity. I don't know what happened, but there was no grapes.
No grapes anywhere, right? And we had this guest that was obsessed with grapes. He really, really wanted. Do you know that we found grapes?
Where did you find?
I don't know where Tommy found.
Tommy found it.
Tommy found grapes.
I know, guess was so
happy. And you know, with you can imagine somebody that has been looking for grapes for like maybe like 3 or 4 days, and then you now find grapes with person. Do you think person will not come back?
He will come back. In fact, he will bring people along with him.
You understand? It might sound so little. It might sound so silly, but those are the little things that we do.
That makes
you know what I mean?
Out.
That will make you stand out. And I feel like a lot of Nigerian businesses don't understand.
We don't have customer
because really
service,
think about honestly. It. How much are grapes? Back then, grapes were like what, 2K?
2009.
Do you understand?
But in my hood, it's still literally the mainland. It's like 1.5.
Yeah.
If you find it more, they say 1.8.
Exactly. So maybe like 2K. Do you understand? So what is 2K compared to a long-time guest that that will keep coming and will keep referring your business to other people and things like that? Because of your customer service, it's all those little things that actually make you stand out. Okay. You know,
yeah.
we're right now in a building that we don't own the building. We own a couple of apartments in the building, right? So things like the facilities are. The way the facilities are maintained are beyond our control, yeah. Right? So you have some times where the guests tell you, oh, the water is not running, or there's no, the lift isn't working. One time we had like serious issues with our lift and things like that. A typical Nigerian business owner is like, it's not my fault, nice facility, blah, 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 nothing I can do. But believe you me, the next day you will see cupcakes in your room.
As Ali say, as a compensation.
Yes. Or where exactly,
like, okay,
or
we couldn't handle it.
We couldn't handle it, but this is exactly. Or if the situation is for the entire day, you're not paying for that night. You're going to be refunded for that night. Like it just goes without saying.
And you know what? This is very important because tourism is about customer service.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think a lot of us are getting it wrong.
Yeah, that's the bedrock of our entire business.
That's the bedrock of our whole business. Yeah. Any other business though, but tourism, hospitality is really. It's a customer-centric.
Yeah, that's why it's
business.
Called hospitality, right? It's from the word hospitable.
Hospitable.
Yeah.
Hospitable.
Yeah. Literally,
know,
yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to personal things about you.
No, God.
I know a lot about you, though, but let me ask you. So three things that people don't know about you.
Oh, my God.
That you like to share. Or if you don't know these are three things, at least three things that people should know about you.
Okay, three things that people
this
don't
one,
know.
If you don't mention it, I'll mention it on your behalf.
Which one?
Continuous things.
Okay, I was going to say that I learned how to ride a bike maybe like 3 years ago. I couldn't ride a bike.
Don't worry, that's good. Me, I want to join a cycling community because I don't know how to ride a bike.
Oh, okay.
To you right now.
Okay,
so you're better than me.
I'm definitely better than you. The second one is... I don't know. People do a lot of things. What's the one that you're going to mention?
No, finish mentioning things.
Okay,
don't
so
shy for me.
Okay, so let me. I'm thinking about something adventurous or whatever that I have done. That okay, like I said, you know, like we already said that crazy things always happen to me, right? So one time I went paragliding in Turkey, and I threw up on my instructor twice. I actually barfed in the air. Guys, I have the video.
I watched you.
I now realize, girl, I didn't realize that I had any form of motion sickness or anything like that. Adrenaline junkie now. I was like, okay, paragliding, let's go. And it was in Turkey, Pamukkale, so we had like the snow capped. I won't call them mountains, but let's call them mountains, right? So the snow-capped mountain, I'm like, nah, I have to see this from the top. So I went paragliding, you know, I was gliding was good and everything. So the guy was like, oh, show you tricks. I'm like, yeah, show me tricks. Then he started to swerve and, oh, no! I was like, why is my tummy feeling woozy? The next thing, I just, oh. Don't ask me where it went. Ew. Just don't ask me. Yeah. And it happened a second time. Don't ask me any questions. But yeah, that's the second thing.
Number three.
I don't know. I'm a very nice person. I guess.
She's a mom of two beautiful kids.
Oh yeah, well everybody knows that.
Yeah. I was gonna say the adrenaline junkie part if you didn't say it.
I am definitely.
You're an inspiration to us moms that it's not because you're a mother you cannot jump off a cliff or jump off a plane.
Yeah. I've done that as well. Yeah.
All right. So as we wrap this up, what advice do you have for people coming into the industry that wants to start as a business?
Mm-hmm.
All right, then we already there here. What advice you have for us? And then our elders, the veterans, elders. What questions do you have for them? So I always ask that question for those coming in, those of us already in the industry, and those who've been there for a long time. What message do you have for these three people?
Okay, so for those coming in, I would say just talking about tourism generally, right? Not necessarily like travel, so travel, hospitality, everything. So for those coming in, I would say, I think you need to actually like research properly and speak to people. You understand what I mean? I'll give you an example. I'll talk about like the Airbnb aspect. Right, I find some people that want to set up Airbnb saying, oh, I'll set up an Airbnb, and then their apartments are in Abraham Adesanya or Aja and things like that. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you not asking questions? You know, if you go to like a Dubai, for example, where would you want to stay? You want to stay bang in the center. Think about Lagos that way. Where is the center of Lagos? Like, if you're in Ikoyi, you have no business taking your business down all the way there. There's traffic, there are all sorts of things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So ask the right questions. If you need to pay for a consultation, you can pay me, because we do that. Pay for a consultation. Do you understand what I mean? Don't,
you're investing.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to invest. And then even if you can't even afford to put in that amount of money in your business and things like that, just read, research, follow platforms are already doing the same. Learn from them. Don't just jump in blindly. And believe you me, I believe that there are some people in this, not everybody, but I believe there are a lot of people in the industry that, it also depends on how you approach them, right? You approach them nicely, do you understand? They will be able to give you some tips and advice and things like that.
And we didn't get to, how did we meet? Just online.
Yeah, they random. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, do you want to interview?
Yeah.
So you meet somebody.
Yeah.
In the long run, you guys will continue.
Yeah.
We've known each other for all 7 years.
Yeah.
But I can't say we've spent time like together all the time.
I know.
But the way you communicate
is very important. Yes.
I've entered my DM. I want to say,
no, you don't do that. Yeah.
You don't even greet.
You don't even like your pictures. You're not even a part of the community.
You don't greet. You don't even say, oh, I read this about you. At least start looking for something online.
Research.
I like what you said.
Yeah.
And then can I ask you a question? Don't just enter my DM.
Yeah. And just say, oh,
I see what is there, baby. I want to.
Yeah, exactly. I don't even respond to DMs anyway, so yeah, fair enough. Yeah, so that's what I would say for newbies, you know. And don't be afraid, you know, just if you feel it's something that, and don't do this because you're looking for money. You better be passionate about it, because if it's money, do this because you're passionate about it and money will come. Because if it is money, you will bounce right back out. The way you bounced in, believe me, you will bounce back. Yeah, bounce out, right?
Yeah.
And then I think another advice, let me just say this for them, is not everything has to be group trips, right? You know, because I feel like that's the trend. You know, during our time as well, it was a trend too.
You guys have calmed down. You found out that really the group is not that.
No, it's not.
It's not that.
It's not. You can diversify.
You can do other things that you can say. Makes it
for me. The group trips for me was literally my marketing tool.
Yes, it was.
It was my marketing tool. I didn't expect to make money from it, right? Mm-hmm. So I use it to market all and the other services and create that community. Yes, and it's from that community that you have people that now say, okay, you know what? My mom's turning 60. Thank we're going you. To Mexico. That is where the money is at.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember the one you did for one university that came down.
I was about to brag about that. Humble brag again. So I said, wait. I was going to say my mom's turning 60, I'm going to Mexico. Yeah. Oh, there's a bunch of 80 Stanford students that want to come into Lagos, Nigeria. Yeah. No, that is the money. I'm not even going to lie.
Yeah,
that trip.
The money come.
That trip.
Auntie.
And then Harvard as well. Harvard, you know, we've done Harvard.
Yes, I remember. Because you had built that community of people and they trusted you. Like, the fact I have a gift for you when we finish.
Oh, nice. So the Stanford. Guess what? The Stanford trip was. And we got the gig from someone that came for our very first Rwanda trip, which is why I say the group trips are not the, it's the means to an end.
Yes,
you know what I mean? It's the marketing tool. So don't think that. Yeah, exactly. So there's so many other things you can do. I don't know how content creation as, in terms of travel does in Nigeria. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're doing like strictly content, I don't know if you know you get like sponsored trips and like your American or British counterparts. Not really.
Unless maybe someone from abroad sees you and says, okay, we want to bring you.
Yeah.
That's what I said when I read, when I did Nomadic Math, when I did these courses.
You couldn't relate,
because I couldn't find people doing that here.
Yeah.
Why would to pay you that money?
Yeah.
For that?
Because also when you think about all these businesses, right, for them, they're like, they need to see a market in Nigeria for them to sponsor a content creator. Yeah.
And all this, we're still going there. But by the way, guys, she's a content creator guru. Like, basically, if you want content, please come and pay her. She will create a content for you, and you'll be like, go to her page, Niger Nomads. You're going to be wild by the content, right? I know she now has stopped doing it, but when she first started,
I
called you in for content creation for my virtual summit.
Yeah,
I said, Auntie, come and teach people how to create content. The problem we're having.
I remember.
All right, so for us, what advice?
Yeah, so for us, please stop gatekeeping, guys. Stop. What?
I like that.
No, but it's the truth. Y'all need to stop gatekeeping. Do you understand? Like, I mean, the younger ones, I don't know why. I'm not old though, please. I'm old, yeah, but yeah.
We just stop. I'm like proud growing old.
Yeah, just
OG.
Yeah, just I feel like you should be more. I find us to be very closed.
Yeah.
You know, we're always for me. Oh, geez, we're the ones that started. We need it. Okay, guys. It's okay. We know that. But right, we need to be more, I mean,
open.
Be more open. And be more, and even if you want people to pay for these things that your knowledge, those who are serious, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Put it out there as a course or whatever. Be willing to teach people because a lot of them don't know,
people make a lot of mistakes.
They do. And if I'm being honest with you, I mean, I'm also guilty of this as well. You know, me and some of my friends were like, these ones have started group trips again, and we'll laugh.
Because I know why.
We'll say, don't worry. Welcome.
But yeah, I like that thing. Stop gatekeeping.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason why. If you see me, I do things that I try to bring in the younger ones, our sets, and the older ones together.
Yeah.
We can't pair ourselves away.
No, we can't.
You didn't get here by yourself.
No, I didn't.
You didn't. You had aunties, uncles, friends, older ones.
Yeah.
I know you are very close to your elder ones.
Yeah.
Who guided you through.
Yeah.
But if we're not going to do the same thing for these younger ones, how? And I know I'm only one person.
Yeah.
So that bringing together networking event
mm-hmm.
is usually very, very...
Yeah.
I'm not making money from those things. I'm just doing it because I want to bridge in. But we can't throw the older ones. The ones that created the path for us. We just made it more beautiful, more
more fun, more now-ish,
you know. So that gatekeeping, you're very true.
Yeah, we need to stop gatekeeping. Yeah. And I also feel like we in the, I guess you call us we in the middle, right?
Yeah, we're in the middle.
Yeah, we're the middle children. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I feel like we're in the middle. I feel like we should be, because you already do that, you know, all those community events and things like that. I feel like we should do more of it.
Yeah.
You know, because like that one that we did, I saw the feedback. I'm just like, we need to do this thing again, but Namani Kilam, I beg.
I shared the throw back with you and Lola. It was really nice.
But I'm like, I beg, it's expensive to do, but it's nice to do.
It is expensive.
You know, it is nice.
Let me say it here too. When we come to you organizations for sponsorship, it's not because we are just here for the money. We just want to create that opportunity. And of course, tourism is not a it's not cheap, it's not expensive, but it's something that if you don't invest in it, you're not able to get the results you're looking for.
Yeah.
So that's why if we want to do these events, we reach out to you guys.
Yeah.
It's not for we want to put
and you now give us a la.
Yeah, you don't give us a la.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. So it's things like this we wish that we could have organizations who actually like tourism or who can actually kind of like linked to tourism to help us sponsor these events.
Oh, they see value in tourism because I understand obviously for an organization they need to see value, right?
Return of investment.
Yeah, so if they see value in it, then why not, you know? But yeah, I agree with you. So I feel like we should do a lot more community events, you know, because we don't have a lot of that. And we've always had this issue from
day one.
Yeah, from day one, we always used to complain. Mm-hmm. And then I remember then, myself and maybe like a friend, we're like, you know what, let's just do one travel meet and greet. We'll just do one and then that's the end.
That's it. You guys just got to go shop.
Do you understand? We need that consistency.
Yeah.
Maybe once every quarter, we know that, it's a travel meet and greet.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have to be every day.
It doesn't have to be,
You know,
and everybody's looking forward to
it.
Yeah, and you know, it's well done. It's very stellar. It's, so I feel that's one thing that we should also look into doing. Now
veterans,
for the elders, I don't even know, to be honest. What advice can I possibly give them?
Maybe to connect with us more, because it's the same problem. I talk about the gatekeeping. We have the same gatekeeping issue with the elders, and sometimes I don't blame them because it does feel that, you know, we, especially like I said, we're like, we know what we want to do.
It's true. We're very. I feel like we're very. I feel like we're very disruptive.
Yes.
Let's not lie. We were very
yes,
we
no.
We also, I don't think we even, very few of them actually mingled with,
yes, with
the
us.
Elders.
Yes, with the elders.
We were not even, we're like, old school. We're not even
because
interested.
We're not. Yeah. We think differently. But,
yeah.
But
because we started the whole Instagram
yes,
thing.
Now, so like social prefect now, who just came and made it. It's not that she's not the first person to package tours.
Yeah.
But
well,
she made it in a way that people are like,
But she mingled though. I have to give Chiamaka that. Yeah.
She
definitely mingled.
But I'm just telling you that when young people like this come on board and they have ideas and they want to be disruptive, it's always like seeing like, where is this one coming from?
Who is this one?
I'll give it to her. Yes, she did mingle. Yeah. But a lot of us did not.
Yeah.
And
I didn't.
And I keep saying, you can't throw away these godparents. You can't.
Yeah.
Even if they don't think we were thinking,
they have
experiences that we don't have yet.
Yeah.
So you still need them. And they need us too, because as they are growing and expanding their own businesses.
But don't you feel like, I feel like there's no, I don't see any avenue to meet them. I don't want to throw any organization under the bus, right? But you know the organization I'm talking about. When they have those their meetings, I see it and I'm like, what is this? I'm sorry.
I agree.
It's not. There's nothing welcoming about it. It's just very old school. Where I'm like, I cannot be caught dead here. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? So I feel like they should be okay. Yeah. My advice for the elders is maybe they should be a bit more in tune with what is going on right now.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So that if you can now encourage us and then the ones that are upcoming to be at these events and then join us, because like you're saying, they you feel like. Maybe because they've gone ahead of us, they're more experienced and everything like that. But
they're not in tune with what's happening right now.
They are not in tune with what's happening right now.
There's just a disconnect which needs
a huge disconnect.
That needs to be connected.
A huge disconnect.
I'm saying we can't throw away the younger ones coming. We don't need to discourage them. We ourselves need to learn to work with each other more. And then of course the older ones, even though they are obsolete, if you want to put that word,
dinosaurs.
They're dinosaurs, because guess what? We too will be dinosaurs one day.
Oops.
And we don't want these younger ones to just forget us. Oh, they don't know my days. Oh, they want them to still.
But you also need to be, but then you also need to kind of like get with the program, right?
Yes.
Do you understand what I mean? Because like I said, I see these events, and initially when I started, I would go, but I just stopped going because I'm like,
you're not seeing any
value. What is this? Thank you. Exactly. There's
and,
no value.
Most of them are repetitive.
Thank
and
you.
The same thing we're saying all the time.
Okay.
Most of them are random. But you have given the message that we need to give.
Yeah, we have.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, Mafe, for being here.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, girl. Let me give you a fist bump.
Fist bump.
All right, guys. Thank you. To the next edition.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.